Do you want to become a better songwriter? Well, we created a very simple 10-minute songwriter personality test, and it's going to help you better understand who you are as a writer, and it's going to help you in the writer's room when you're writing with other writers, because you're going to be able to identify what kind of writer they are. Maybe even have them take the songwriter personality test. If you're curious and you want to take the songwriter personality test today, just visit songwriterpersonalitytest.com or go to the link on the writingworship.co website.
Welcome to the Writing Worship Podcast, a place for kingdom-minded songwriters to grow in their craft and community.
Well, welcome to another episode of the Writing Worship Podcast. I'm your host, Eric Nordoff, joined by my lovely wife,
Chrissy Nordoff.
And
Sharon Bird.
Are we Sharon saying our Bird. Names now? Yes, I guess I'm letting you say your own name.
That's what we do now.
Well, I was just following Chrissy's lead. I'm like, I want to, be congruent with everything that's going on.
That's right. That's right. It's good. I try to say the word congruent in every episode if I can.
Wait.
Because we said it in the last episode.
You know what? That is not your favorite word, though. Your favorite word that you try to get into every possible explanation is montage. He loves the word montage.
Really?
It's so not true. It's so not true.
Montage. Yes, he does.
It used to be my favorite word.
Wait, what about
entourage?
Entourage.
I mean, that's close. Like, he also loves...
That's a good one.
Concierge.
Continuity?
Concierge. I love a good concierge experience.
As many times as possibly says that word.
You have to make your finger. You have to make your fingers like this. You know, you have to do this sort of put your thumb and your fingers together and just sort of keep your pinky out and just say concierge. It's just such a. I feel like Donald Trump actually when I say this.
I don't know how. Like I can't even remember how to say it with a zh on the end of it.
But, concierge. I love a good like.
Well, it reminds me. It's Concierge Marie. Do you guys remember her?
I love Concierge Marie. I am Michael Scott. I am Michael Scott, and I love a good Canadian concierge.
He's way too much Office.
Concierge Marie.
He turns into what he watches.
So did you love the word more after that episode?
It found a home in my heart after watching that episode. I've watched it probably 7 or 8 times.
Sharon, thank you for uncovering where that word came from today.
Yeah.
I'm here for. All right, guys. Well, thanks for having me. See you next time.
We're your concierge for this podcast. That's what we are.
Yeah, we're
the concierge of the listener.
Way to bring it full circle.
We are
concierges.
Concierge.
How do you do it plural?
How do you? Yeah,
concierge. I don't know.
Oh my gosh! I have.
Maybe it's just a French word.
Conci.
Yeah.
We're
concies. We're butchering the French language right now.
Sorry, everybody.
Sorry, France.
Our two listeners in France, we apologize.
Right. Yeah.
How do you say that in French? Parlez-vous français? How do you say apologies? Anyway.
So now you're just showing off. I don't know.
Pardon. Anyway. All right.
Lo siento.
Is that Spanish?
That's all I got.
Yeah, it's Spanish.
Okay. All right. So we are going to keep this banter short today because to be honest, we're running out of time. We need to make sure Sharon makes her deadline and Chrissy gets out of this robe and onto her day.
I didn't mention. She's still in the robe.
I don't know if I want to get out of the robe. Does anyone know about that?
You need to get going with your day, honey.
Get going with her day with a bathrobe
on. That's true. He's always like so zippy. He's like in there.
Zippy.
He gets his shower done with his hairspray and he is out and he is on with the day.
Hairspray.
And I'm Chrissy. Like... Do.
Yes. Chrissy, you are like me where
really?
It's like, yes. So my husband calls me like my spirit animal is a sloth. Because I'm just chilling. What's the hurry?
Yes.
There's nothing. But the thing is, because of that, I end up just rushing like a crate. So he's like, you have two speeds. sloth.
Yes.
And like, and absolutely road runner. Out of your mind.
Emergency.
Mad. Yes.
Yeah.
Mad woman.
Cause like, I'll go all morning like, I got so much time.
That is your favorite thing.
All of a sudden I'm like, what? How am I late again?
Yeah.
I have no idea what just happened, but yeah.
I feel so seen.
I mean, yes. Chuck Butler makes fun of me all the time about this because he's always like, are you going to show up on time? I really try like
me too.
So hard, but I'm always like 10 minutes late. Mm-hmm. But I mean,
feel so seen. This is my explanation for
okay,
this.
Okay.
It's because we are very optimistic about how much time we have.
Yes. Oh, okay. That's good, Sharon.
Mm-hmm. There's an abundance of time in your mind.
In our minds, there is no end to the time that we have.
So, we're just...
Well, to the Lord, it's like, 10,000 years is like...
Yeah, a day.
A day.
So we got a lot of time.
I've butchered that scripture, but yeah.
No, I always think I have time to do one more thing.
Oh, like, yeah. Of course.
One more... Oh, I have one more thing.
Yeah, I think we all do that to some extent or another, for sure. Especially if we're having fun doing what we're doing in our bathrobe.
Yeah, especially. Yeah.
It can't get better in the bathrobe.
Nope. That's sumo suit's probably the only thing better.
Yeah.
Actually, it'd probably get hot in there. I hope that's air conditioned inside.
Yeah, there's a fan.
There's a fan. Okay, good. Yeah. Well,
get the AC going.
Today's how do you transition out of bathrobe and sumo suit? But we're gonna try.
And sloth.
We're gonna try.
Sloths.
We're gonna try
sloths
to move
and sumo suit.
Oh, I love that. What was that? What was that Disney? Was that Pets?
Oh, I love that show.
Zootopia.
The one with Zootopia with the sloths
at the DMV.
Yes,
oh my gosh,
at the DMV.
I relate.
Yes,
those are my people.
And I'm the rabbit. I am absolutely the rabbit.
Zippy, the
rabbit. I'm like, you know, let's go.
Energizer bunny.
Yeah. Well, we are, speaking of zipping along.
That was a great segue.
And hopping things along.
Hopping,
jumping. Today, we're going to play one of the chapters of the Writing Worship book.
Okay.
We're going to play the audio recording that we actually recorded right here on this microphone with you sharing, I think it's the story of the songwriter. It's chapter one, basically a songwriter's journey.
I'm glad you remember what chapter one
I looked it up before we did this, but I didn't get the chapter title right. But
okay, that's okay.
But it's great. It sets the scene for the Writing Worship book. And you, listener, if you haven't read the book, we wanted to give you a little taste of that. Mm-hmm. You can also, of course, download a copy of that on our Writing Worship website. If you wanted to go to writingworship.co and get that, you could also get the book on Amazon. But we just wanted to give you a little taste of your story, Chrissy. Mm-hmm. Do you want to tell people a little preview that you have that you're working on book number two?
Yeah. Well, first of all, I was just having flashbacks of recording this audio recording of book number one because you built this whole wood thing with like egg crate inside of it. And I was like in a time capsule.
It was hodgepodge. Yes.
Do we still have that?
No, I finally
need that again.
I kept it for like 2 years, but I got rid of it.
Well, book one is just a lot of my heart from the first really 25 years being in Nashville and just wanting to open up a path for people that are wanting to write songs and really just give them everything I learned. Well, a lot of things in a succinct way that they could hopefully grab onto and begin their own journeys or continue their journeys wherever they are. And it has some of our stories in there as well. Book two, I just started working on this last year, which I'm still working on. It's a lot of Google documents.
Bathrobe,
right now.
A lot of bathrobe work.
of course.
I've been working on it every morning for the last couple months. And I'm really excited. It's probably going to be titled Psalming, which is something that we talk about in the first book and also the mentorship. And it's basically singing the Psalms out loud. But in doing that, I learned so much about scripture, about songwriters, about messages that God has for songwriters in the Word of God. It kind of led me to different breadcrumb trails, is what I call it. And I followed those breadcrumbs through scripture and found these, what feels to me like hidden treasures that I get so excited about. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, so book two will be psalming. It's still being written, but yeah. Book one will give you kind of a flavor for that style of writing and just kind of open a door for you into that world.
Hey, awesome. So exciting. Can't wait.
Well, why don't we go ahead and play chapter one of the Writing Worship book? But before we do that, we are going to bid adieu to our concierge, Sharon.
Wow. Is this like the French episode?
This is for our two French listeners.
I'm going to pull out all the French words I know.
Right.
Why am I hungry for French toast?
Croissant.
That's all I got.
Do you have any final parting croissants for us, Sharon, as we wrap this up, our time together? Hopefully this will be the first of many.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Hopefully if I can wear my sumo suit the whole time again.
Every time.
All right. Yep. Great. No, I just love you guys. I just honor everything that you guys have done and just the pioneer spirit specifically that you, Chrissy, have. It's so inspiring. And I can say confidently that it is working, that what you're doing has had such a huge impact on myself and I know so many others. So anything you guys do, any podcast or event you let me be at, I'm there.
Skits. Get your skit ready, Sharon. We love you, Sharon.
Absolutely. Yeah,
thank the world of you and love what you're doing and we champion you where you are and where you are supporting the sound of your house. I think it's beautiful.
Yeah. Mm, yeah. We're super proud of you. Proud parents over here in Nashville of you. And you're such a vital part of our community. You make it better. You make it shine. And we'll always champion you.
Love you guys so much.
Love you, Sharon.
All right. Thanks, Sharon Bird, Doc, for joining us on this podcast. And now we're going to listen to chapter one of the Writing Worship book with Chrissy.
Chapter one, songwriting is a journey. Only those who will risk going too far can possibly find out just how far one can go. T.S. Eliot, Preface to Transit of Venus, poems by Harry Crosby. For me, writing songs began somewhere between the butterfly-spotted hills of my family farm in southwest Michigan and my grandmother's organ. Somewhere between hymns and El Shaddai. Without understanding or even thinking, I simply sang what rose to the top of my heart. Many times I stood on the crossbar at the end of my metal swing set in the backyard and sang into the pole that ran across the top because it echoed like a microphone. My first music teacher was my grandma Millie. She played the organ and the piano by ear and completely captivated me. She was the first to move my little fingers onto the right keys to plunk out the melody to heart and soul. Grandma Millie went to heaven when I was almost 5 years old. My young heart was broken. But years later, I realized that was the same year my first official song floated into the air near the back pasture of that farm. Now I understand that this mantle of music was an inheritance. Through childhood, my love of songwriting continued to grow. Without realizing it, I became a student of lyric and melody. I used to play a game whenever a new contemporary Christian music album came out. I would listen to the record bit by bit, write down all the lyrics as they came, repositioning the needle or rewinding the cassette as needed. I would then compare them with the official lyric to see how many I got right. Only a lyricist would think this was fun. In our little country church, I would study the hymnal, noticing depth and themes and rhyme and patterns, sometimes for the whole service. It was there I learned the hymn, Take My Life and Let It Be, which contains these lines, Take my voice and let me sing, always only for my King. They took root in me for good when I was 14. As I got older, I traveled with my family singing special music in different area churches. Dad brought my little sound system, bought by my Grandma Josie, along with my background tracks and functioned as my tech team. Mom took me to piano and voice lessons during the week and cleaned the teacher's house in exchange for my lessons since we couldn't afford to pay her. Their support was sacrificial. They always believed in me. My first recording was in high school. I sang in a Youth for Christ choir, and they chose to feature one of my original songs on their album. Soon after, I was able to attend Anderson University by the grace of God in the form of a scholarship. It was there I took Songwriting 101 from Gloria Gaither. I left that class with tears many times because of how deeply I was moved by God's heart through her teaching. I would have attended all 4 years just for that class. I didn't know then how much my life would be affected by it, but I know now. I saved the final requirement for my degree, an internship in the music business, for last. I knew the Lord was calling me to move to Nashville, and I wanted to do the internship there. The week before I was to move, I had no job, car, apartment, health insurance, or internship. Still, I knew I had to go. Within a week, all those things fell into place in a God-orchestrated way I couldn't understand. Soon after moving to Nashville, I was offered a record deal. We negotiated it with all the lawyers, and I was assigned a producer to work with. When they gave me the tour schedule, I saw that I would be gone for 2 to 3 months at a time. I was ready, but about 6 months into those negotiations, the company decided to drop me. I felt devastated. Around that time, I met my husband, Eric. He had already been working in the Christian music industry for several years, directing international sales for Warner Alliance, Provident, and Word. Eric had the business expertise I didn't and was able to help me navigate those waters. The closer we got to marriage, the more I began to question God's will for my life. I really wanted to have a family. It felt like the first priority in my heart. I began to question if I would be okay traveling for 2 to 3 months and leaving my family at home. When I got really honest with myself, the answer was no. I made the decision to be an independent artist, writing and singing all my own songs. It gave me the flexibility with family that I wanted. It ended up working out well, since family quickly followed marriage. We had been married 1.5 years when Alex, our oldest, was born. Within 23 months, Caden was born. These two little boys won my heart, and I was so thankful. I wrote songs during little windows like nap time and after I put them to bed. They were good travelers and came with us as I did concerts from Texas to Michigan and everywhere in between. I added some time for the kids in many Sunday services, and they helped me sell CDs. It was a sweet time. One Sunday, we did 2 services in the morning, then drove 4 hours to do a festival that night, boys in tow. After that day, I began to feel a season shift. I knew something needed to change. The next week, I found out I was expecting our 3rd child, our daughter, Anthem. It was during that pregnancy that I co-wrote Your Great Name with my home church in mind. Ultimately, it was recorded for our church album. It was the song that taught me to let go. I had never written a song that I didn't sing. The night we performed the song for the first time, I was in the choir and very pregnant. I heard the Lord tell me, sing in the choir this time and watch what happens. Soon the entire congregation was on their feet. As the song's popularity began to grow and Natalie Grant chose to record it on her album, I realized something for the first time. I could write songs and stay home with my kids, and my songs could travel. It had always been an option, a possibility, but I had never seen it. So I began to settle into this I'm a songwriter identity. However, if I'm honest, I have to say I feared I had missed something for years. Until one day when the Lord whispered to me, I can use you in much greater ways if you will write songs for me. Another time I was driving to Nashville to record a song story video with my co-writers. We would be asked to share about how the song was inspired, how the song took shape, and what it meant to us. I couldn't even remember the song, so I pulled it up on my phone to listen and tried to remember the details before I got there. I heard the studio singer belting out the melody that I had crafted, and I thought, oh yeah, that sounds like me. I can hear my inflections there. Then I heard God's voice say, do you know what I hear when I hear your songs? I replied, no. He answered, your voice. I hear your voice. I burst into tears, thinking about how many times he had heard me. That is all that mattered. Take my voice and let me sing, always only for my King. I had known ever since those lyrics settled in my heart that I would be involved in Christian music. But in the early days of my writing, worship as we know it wasn't yet a thing in church culture. I started out writing simple songs about Jesus, but in college that changed to more clever, wordy songs. Then I wrote plenty of songs just to process my own emotions, even songs to release anger. Ask me about Alcatraz. I wrote about my experiences as a mother, a wife, a daughter. I wrote songs to teach my kids lessons and values I didn't want them to forget. Then came worship. I didn't understand it at first. In fact, it was pointed out to me that the songs I was recording and singing were not congregational worship because I used the first person, I, viewpoint. I wrote about my experiences as a mother, a wife, a daughter. I wrote songs to teach my kids lessons and values I didn't want them to forget. Then came worship. I didn't understand it at first. In fact, it was pointed out to me that the songs I was recording and singing were not congregational worship because I used the first person I viewpoint. It didn't make sense to me that using the first person pronouns could make such a difference. It felt like worship to me. Learning what it meant to write congregational worship took a while. Some people say Nashville is a 7-year town, meaning it takes 7 years to have a breakthrough in your music. But it took 14 years for me to get my first cut, one of my songs recorded by an artist. I was in town for 19 years before signing a publishing deal. Most recently, I've been a staff songwriter for Integrity Music. Some of my songs have been sung by artists and worship leaders such as Mandisa, Darlene Check, Torrin Wells, David and Nicole Binion, and Natalie Grant. I have loved serving both artists and church worship teams as I've helped them write songs for their records and congregations. I'm so thankful. As soon as I got to Nashville, I could tell it was going to be interesting learning to navigate industry, family, and ministry. I began to pray for a mentor. I asked the Lord if he would connect me with a woman who had walked these places before I had, someone who could shepherd me through some of the questions and situations I faced. I repeatedly encountered the Nashville no, which is basically when people show support or make promises to you face to face, but later won't answer your phone calls or texts. It's a cultural way of saying no, or that they are actually not interested. One time I encountered an industry woman who heard my songs and then laughingly called herself the Dream Crusher. I have had co-writing sessions canceled and faced many other challenges simply because I'm female. At one point, someone said to me, 30 is old in the music business. If you were 25, I would sign you to a record deal today. I almost gave up after that one. Funny enough, I saw no breakthroughs with my music until after I was 35. I continued to pray for a mentor for 15 years with no answer. Finally, that 15th year, the Lord said, "Be what you need." That's when I stopped looking to get something and realized just maybe I had something to give. I chose to start pouring into the generation behind me and have been mentoring songwriters for 10 years now. I noticed that songwriters needed community, so I started Girls Write Out, a gathering for female writers. That eventually became a ministry called Brave Worship, which I co-founded with my sister Mary Beth Dodd, who is a worship leader. You can check it out at braveworship.com. Through that ministry, I saw a need for more hands-on songwriting instruction for women as well as men. That was the beginning of the Writing Worship course and the Worship Songwriter Mentorship. Then I saw a need for a book in which I could go into more detail. And that, my friend, is what you now hold in your hands. I know these 25 years of writing in Nashville, the trials, the mistakes, and the joys were not for me alone. They were also for you. I've thought about you in writing rooms, at writers' nights, at church, and as I've prayed. I know your journey as a songwriter will be unique, but I also know there are insights I can share with you that will encourage and equip you in all the ways I once so desperately needed. All I know, I freely and joyfully give you. Let's begin with why the church needs you to write new songs.
I hope that was as meaningful for you as it was for us. If you're a songwriter and you're resonating with any of what you heard today, we'd love to get to know you more and introduce you to some folks in our community. All of our podcast interviews and guest lectures come from either our Writing Club monthly breakouts or our annual Writing Worship Conference. Check out the show notes to learn how to get more involved with Writing Club, our mentorship taught by our founder, Chrissy Nordoff, or stuff we talked about in today's episode. Find us on Facebook at the Writing Worship Community, on Instagram at writingworship.co, and our website, writingworship.co. We love meeting new folks and supporting songwriters, so be sure to stop in, say hello, and get to know us a little bit. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.
The times I've grown most as a songwriter are the times I've had mentors showing me the way. If you're looking to grow as a songwriter, we're now accepting applications for our Worship Songwriter Mentorship. Now, it's available only a few times each year. The Worship Songwriter Mentorship is a songwriting intensive that will help you craft impactful worship songs. It's a course created by Dove Award-winning and Grammy-nominated, drumroll here please, our founder, pro songwriter Chrissy Nordoff. It's a small group community, and it's led by other songwriters over the course of 9 weeks. It's an intensive course in a small group co-writing environment, and that means you'll be added to a special group of about 12 writers, give or take. Each group is led by experienced songwriters, some of them my dear, dear friends, and I've even gotten to lead a group or two. Rachel here, by the way. We love the church, and we love to champion fellow worship songwriters just like yourself. In this mentorship, You'll learn how to write songs for you and your congregation. You'll go deeper in your intimacy with Jesus. You'll get the tools needed to help craft songs more easily and never run out of creative ideas. Okay, I know it sounds too good to be true, but trust me, this course is a game changer. You'll learn how to leverage your unique songwriting personality and connect with other like-minded writers in a meaningful way. Truly, I can't think of another course, group of people, community that has impacted my songwriting the way that this mentorship has. If you're wanting to take the next steps in your songwriting journey, then apply now at the link in our show notes. We hope to see you there.